this regret I got accustomed to. Once you walked the ride when we were at our height, waiting for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we could snatch. I don't know why I got so attached. It's my responsibility, and you don't own nothing to me but to walk away. I have no capacity. He walks.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is March 24th, 2021. Can you believe it? March is almost over. We've got a week to go. Wow. And, man, we're already almost, we're well into the 400s as far as shows go. So that's pretty neat. Pretty neat to me, anyway. I don't know how much longer the fun project will go, but we'll see. And, just as a word of warning, X1 is on gardening mode. I'm not sure what that means, but hello to Calm, Unimagine, X1, Stug, ISK, or ISK, I'm not sure if you want me to say each letter or not. Stug, M. Stoney's probably out there, Jasmine's, everybody. In fact, that reminds me, if you want to join Calm. All right, and if you'd like to join and chat during the show, you can do that while we're doing it live. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and once you're there, go ahead and launch Calm. If you don't have an account yet, all you need to do is SSH over as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you'll be able to sign up for an account. Once you sign up for an account, then you SSH over, you launch COM, that's C-O-M, you press enter, you press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and then that will connect you to the Anon Radio Room, where you get to hang out with cool people like Stug and Claudio M and Ratsu and X1 and Jazzmaz, if he's listening. And all sorts of cool people. So definitely go ahead and do that.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. All right. So there's a lot of news. I've trimmed it down a lot, and I've tried to not include a whole bunch of Ukrainian news. There's not a lot, been a lot of developments lately. Just continuing destruction and sadness there. There's not a lot, there's not a big variety of news coming out. I think it's because there's so few reporters, people on the ground, at least not on any sites that aren't like super strongly biased, so I don't know if we can trust them. All right, so what else is going on then? There's a lot of world news happening, and I guess that means that we start the way we always start.
World news.
North Korea is testing, tests a banned intercontinental missile. Now, North Korea has tested a banned intercontinental ballistic missile, commonly called an ICBM, that's for the first time since 2017. Japanese officials said it flew 1,100 kilometers and fell in Japanese waters after flying for over an hour. ICBMs, designed for nuclear arms delivery, could extend North Korea's strike range as far as the U.S. mainland. The test is being seen as a major escalation by the North and has been condemned by its neighbors and the U.S. North Korea has launched a flurry of missile tests in recent weeks. The U.S. and South Korea have said some of those tests, with Pyongyang claiming they were satellite launches, were in fact trials of parts of an ICBM system. Thursday's missile appeared to be newer and more powerful than the one North Korea fired 5 years ago, reaching an altitude of more than 6,000 kilometers, which is 3,730 miles. Hello, Claudio M. Welcome. South Korea's military responded with 5 missile tests of its own from land, sea, and air. The United States condemned the North for a brazen violation of UN Security Council resolutions. The door is not closed on diplomacy, but Pyongyang must immediately cease its destabilizing actions, White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki said. I don't know. It seems like the U.S. closed the doors on diplomacy a long time ago, when we tried to starve them to death. Outgoing South Korean President Moon Jae-in condemned what he said was a breach of the suspension of intercontinental ballistic missile launches promised by Chairman Kim Jong-un to the international community. So, the Kim regime is determined not only to keep South Korea hostage to military threats that can evade Seoul's missile defenses and preemptive strike capabilities, but also aims to expand its nuclear reach over the American homeland to deter Washington from coming to defense of U.S. allies. North Korea is nowhere near initiating aggression on the scale of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but Pyongyang's ambitions likewise exceed self-defense, as it wants to overturn the post-war security order in Asia. X1, as you say, when X1 says, when people build missiles, it's for peace, love, and happiness. Totally normal. Yeah. Very much so. So, yeah, that's, there's... Yeah, anyway, it's a trip, man. We'll see how this goes. North Korea's not going to let us forget that they're around. So check this out. Good news on and on radio? Yeah, put that through the computer. Ethiopia, or more specifically, Abiy Ahmed, declares immediate truce to allow aid into the Tigray. That's right, Ethiopia's government has declared an indefinite humanitarian truce effective immediately, saying it hoped to help hasten delivery of emergency aid into the Tigray, where hundreds of thousands face starvation. Since war broke out in northern Ethiopia in 2020, thousands have died and millions remain displaced as the conflict has expanded from Tigray to the neighboring regions of Amhara and Afar. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed's government is committed to exert maximum effort to facilitate the free flow of emergency humanitarian aid into the Tigray region, it said in a statement on Thursday. To optimize the success of the humanitarian truce, the government calls upon the insurgents in Tigray to desist from all acts of further aggression and withdraw from areas they've occupied in neighboring regions. The government of Ethiopia hopes this truce will substantially improve the humanitarian situation on the ground. A spokesman for the Tigrayan forces didn't respond to a request for comment on the announcement, which followed a visit by U.S. Special Envoy for the Horn of Africa, David Satterfield, to the capital Addis Ababa this weekend. One of the things that I found interesting was this was kind of a unilateral decision. The president just said, okay, we've got a truce now. And usually a truce is an agreement of peace between two parties, you know, between two people. So, more than 400,000 people have been displaced in the war-ravaged province, according to the UN, and the region has also been subjected to what the UN has said is a de facto blockade. The United Nations humanitarian arm, OCHA, O-C-H-A, Oscar Charlie Hotel Alpha, said no trucks have made it into Tigray since December 15, citing administrative as well as security constraints. So, this will be good news. Hopefully that means there will be fewer kids starving to death in those regions. Of course, it's not all a love fest. Somali militants have killed a female member of parliament in a suicide bombing. At least 15 people, including a female member of the Somali federal parliament, were killed in two suicide bombings in Beledweyne town in center Somalia. Prime Minister Mohamed Hussein Robel has termed the killing of Amina Mohamed Abdi an assassination. Somali president has tweeted a message of condolence. Other victims include former MP Hassan Dahul and Somali soldiers. Local media reports suggest the death toll could be higher. The Somali National TV has tweeted pictures of the victims killed in the attack. The suicide bombings occurred hours after Al-Qaeda allied militants killed at least 8 people, including 5 foreign nationals in an assault on the Helene camp, a fortified airport complex that houses UN offices and foreign missions. Al-Shabaab has said it was behind the attacks in Mogadishu and central Beledweyne. The militants intensified attacks across Somalia as the Horn of African nations conduct much-delayed elections. So, a bit of a tragedy there, or terrible kind of situation for the government in Somalia. What else is happening? Well, I got a whole bunch of African news here today. Let's try and mix it up. Let's talk about...
This is time for tech news.
It is. Hundreds of companies potentially hit by Okta attack. That's Oscar Kilo Tango Alpha. Apple? Man. Anyway, sorry. Hundreds of organizations that rely on Okta to provide access to their networks may have been affected by a cyber attack. Okta said the worst case was 366 of its clients had been affected, and their data may have been viewed or acted upon. Its shares fell 9% on the news. It says it has more than 15,000 clients from big companies, including FedEx, to smaller organizations, such as Thanet District Council in Kent. Cyber gang Lapsus dollar sign is behind the attack. Point of view from Calm. Hero gives his life for the freedom. For freedom or a nasty suicide bomber? Depends on whose point of depends on the point of view. I mean, I don't think there's anybody, any evil person in history who thought, I'm evil and I'm going to do evil and got away with it. It's always people thinking they're doing good. You're the hero of your own story, I guess, is the way I've always heard it.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
The ransomware group Lapsus. Is a South American threat actor that has recently been linked to cyber attacks on some high-profile targets. The cyber gang is known for extortion, threatening the release of sensitive information if demands by its victims are not made. The group have previously claimed to have broken into some high-profile companies, including Microsoft. In a blog post, Microsoft said Lapsus had gained only limited access after compromising a single account, but no customer code or data was involved. So, Okta initially said the attack in January involved a third-party contractor or a sub-processor, and the matter was investigated and contained. There is no ongoing evidence of ongoing malicious activity between the activity detected in January. So let's see. Multiple applications. One of Okta's clients, Cloudflare, said in a blog post it did not believe it had been compromised. FedEx told Reuters agency it had no indication their environment had been compromised. Thanet, which uses Okta to simplify the way staff manage and sign on to multiple applications, told BBC News the hack was not compromise the security of the council's data, but it will continue to monitor the situation. So basically, anyone who's been identified as a customer of this company has said they don't see any proof that they were compromised, which would make sense for companies to do. Let's go ahead and play a song.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
It's about that time, and you know, as relevant now as it ever was, the times, they are a-changing.
She has seen me changing. It ain't easy rearranging.
This is not the Bob Dylan song. It's Leaving
as you get older, farther away as you get closer, and I don't know the answer. Does it even matter?
I'm gathering people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. mothers and fathers throughout the land. And don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. You are listening to Anon Radio powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you. So thank you for being here and listening and hanging out and using SDF however you do. So thanks a bunch. Welcome, Ronald. You came in just in time. The Dubious Goals Committee is coming up in just about 12 minutes. And then, oh man, it's Thursday. Let's place the equal sign. That means that tonight we've got, what do we got? What do we got? We got Roll Time, DJ Roll Time coming up after the Dubious Goals Committee. Plane of the Eclectic with DJ Roll Time. And hello, F. Fogg and Jeff. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out. Okay. Well, let's get on back into it. There's a few more stories to talk about. First up, let's talk about just a couple more technology environment kind of stories, because this was disturbing. Microplastic pollution has been detected in human blood for the first time, with scientists finding the tiny particles in almost 80% of the people tested. The discovery shows the particles can travel around the body and may lodge in organs. The impact on health is yet unknown, but researchers are concerned as microplastics cause damage to human cells in the laboratory, and air pollution particles are already known to enter the body and cause millions of early deaths a year. Huge amounts of plastic waste are dumped in the environment, and microplastics now contaminate the entire planet, from the summit of Mount Everest to the deepest oceans. People were already known to consume the tiny particles via food and water, as well as breathing them, and they may have been found, and they have been found in the feces of babies and adults. The scientists analyzed blood samples from 22 anonymous donors, all healthy adults, and found plastic particles in 17. So this is a broad sample, of course. Half the samples contain PET plastic, which is commonly used in drink bottles, while a third contained polystyrene, used for packaging food and other products. A quarter of the blood samples contained polyethylene, which plastic bags are used in. Our study is the first indication that we have polymer particles in our blood. It's a breakthrough result, said Professor Dick Vithak, an ecotoxicologist at Vrije Universiteit Amsterdam. I'm saying that way wrong, I'm sure. But I'll put how it's spelled in comm, so at least those folks know what I'm saying. But we have to extend the research and increase the sample sizes, the numbers of polymers assessed, etc. Further studies by numbers of groups are already underway, he said. It is certainly reasonable to be concerned, told The Guardian. The particles are there and are transported through the body, he said. Previous work had shown that microplastics were 10 times higher in the feces of babies compared with adults, and that if babies fed with plastic bottles are swallowing millions of microplastic particles a day. We also know, in general, that babies and young children are more vulnerable to chemical and particle exposure. That worries me a lot, he said. The new research is published in the journal Environmental International and adapted existing techniques to detect and analyze particles as small as 0.0007 millimeters. So what is that? That's 1, 2, 3. That's what? It's very, very small. Jeff and Com just realized that humans eat one credit card of microplastic every day. Wow, that's a very interesting metric. Can you that's a great perspective. That's a great measurement. Thanks a lot for that, Jeff. The team used steel syringes, syringe needles, and glass tubes to avoid contamination and tested for background levels of microplastic using blank samples. Vithak acknowledged that the amount and type of plastic varied considerably between the samples, but this is a pioneering study, he said, with more work now needed. He said the difference might reflect short-term exposure before the samples were taken, such as drinking from a plastic-lined coffee cup or wearing a plastic face mask. The big question is, what is happening in our body? Are the particles retained? Are they transported to certain organs, such as getting past the blood-brain barrier? And are these levels sufficiently high to trigger disease? We urgently need to fund further research so we can find out. Plastic production is set to double by 2040, said Joe Royal, founder of the charity Common Seas. We have a right to know what all this plastic is doing to our bodies. Common Seas, along with more than 80 NGOs, scientists, and MPs, are asking the UK government to allocate $15 million to research on the human impacts of plastic. The EU is already funding research on the impact of microplastics on fetuses and babies and on the immune system. So, we'll see what happens. A recent study found that microplastics can latch onto the outer membrane of red blood cells and may limit their ability to transport oxygen. They've also been found in the placentas of pregnant women, and in pregnant rats, they pass rapidly through the lungs into the heart, brain, and other organs. A new reviewed paper published on Tuesday, co-authored by Vithak, assessed cancer risk and concluded more detailed research on how micro and nanoplastics affect the structures and processes of the human body, where they induce carcinogenesis, is urgently needed. So this is just wild and kind of scary when you think about it. It's one of those things that we're finding out about after it's all. It's like the damage is already done. It's like, are we going to be like the all the animals that we've killed with bigger plastics? Who knows? Ronald does make a point in Com, though. The good thing is that if we get plastified, we will be insulators. Which, I mean, I guess is not the worst thing. Well, let's talk about vampires. Ooh, spooky.
That's correct.
Yeah, don't worry. They're not really vampires. We're talking about vampire appliances. The electronics sucking your wallet dry. Now, I didn't quite realize this. This is from The Guardian, so they're based in the UK. Vampire appliances, age, there are old ones and less old ones. Appearance, it varies. Some are slim and pale, others boxy. Some of them glow and others flash. They suck your power at night, mostly. Vampires. Oh, this is supposed to be like a little script. That's read, but I don't do voices. Anyway, basically, appliances left on standby account for almost a quarter of Britain's electricity use. Turns out your gran was right to go around switching things off at the wall. So I just was surprised to learn that almost a quarter of Britain's electricity use is lost on these appliances. I know that I leave two computers just running all day, every day. So that's probably not the best for the environment. They do go into hibernation mode. I only consume about 200 kilowatt hours a month, but I still feel like I waste too much power. All right. We've got about 5 minutes left to go. Welcome, Claudio M. I'm glad you're here in time for the Dubious Goals Committee. Anyway, sorry.
Resistance is futile.
Let's talk about just a quick U.S. story here that I thought was just kind of like, hey, heads up, this is going on. Ketanji Brown Jackson, I'm not sure how to say her name, I haven't watched any of these shows yet. Republicans turn Ketanji Brown Jackson hearing into a political circus. At 2:54 p.m. on the second day of Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation hearings that determine whether she takes a seat on the Supreme Court, the solemn proceedings took a nosedive into farce. Ted Cruz, the Republican senator from Texas, who's a big embarrassment to most people I talk to in Texas, or I guess I'm fairly liberal, so I don't have a whole lot of, and I don't have a lot of conservative friends. So maybe people in Texas like him, but everyone I know strongly dislikes this guy. Turned theoretically to an outsized blow-up of the children book, Anti-Racist Baby by Ibram Kendi, Ibram X. Kendi, pointing to a cartoon from its pages of an infant in diapers taking their first walk. He asked if she agreed that babies are racist. Senator Jackson began with a sigh, and then she paused for a full 7 seconds, which in the August setting of the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing felt like a year. For the one and only time in 13 hours of questioning that Jackson endured that day, the nominee appeared flummoxed, or flabbergasted. Here she was, age 51, with almost a decade experience as a federal judge behind her, and if confirmed, the history-making distinction of becoming the first woman to, black woman to sit on the nation's highest court ahead of her, and she's being asked whether babies were racist. I have not read any of those books, she said. They don't come up in my work as a judge, which I'm respectfully here to address. And basically, almost all the questions that anybody had for her were not about being a judge or how she would do the job as a judge. And it's pretty apparent that the United States electorate is not very smart because we keep electing very dumb people to our Congress, and they in turn do very dumb things. So very, very, very just... Anyway, it's very difficult, but I wanted to mention that they haven't pulled out anything, you know, nothing like the people that were put in under the previous administration. So it looks like this is going to finish, and then she's going to get appointed. We'll see, but that's what it's looking like. We've only got a couple of minutes. We could measure the time in seconds, but let's run through the headlines I picked up that we didn't talk about. Egypt hikes Suez Canal transit fees for vessels. On Tuesday it said it will increase transit fees for vessels, including oil-laden tankers passing through the Suez Canal. The Canal Authority said on its website it's going to add 15% to the normal transit fees for oil-laden and petroleum products, up from 5%. The new increase are amendments to surcharge hikes imposed in March on vessels passing through the waterway. So, going to be trouble there. In Nigeria, they've launched Africa's largest fertilizer plant. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari inaugurated a $2.5 billion fertilizer plant with which Africa's most populous country hopes to contribute to the global supply amid the impact of increasing prices. During the inauguration of the Dangote fertilizer plant in the commercial capital of Lagos on Tuesday, the Nigerian leader said the nation stands to gain extensively from the production at the plant. And, my friends, that's all the time we got. Thanks so much for being here, and please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe.
So we are history. The shadow covers me. The sky above blaze, lonely lovers see. He walks away. The sun goes down. The summer.